Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 23rd of November, 2025. We are going to be reading three short scriptures from the New Testament. The first one is in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Galatians 5, 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Yeshua neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Let's just turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Being of one accord, of one mind. Let's turn to 1 John 4, verse 18. That's the epistle of John. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that it will mean a lot to us as we look at it and allow it to work in our hearts. May we be changed. Your word says we must be changed from one degree of glory to the next. And we know that your word sets the standard to which we must aspire. So we pray that by your grace we will receive your word, allow it to do its work, and we will move in your direction. We ask this in the wonderful, matchless name of Yeshua. We have been discussing how you and I can develop our faith. And there's so much that could be said about it. It's a lifetime endeavor, and knowledge in this regard never ends. And it's important that we realize there's always more to learn. However, we have covered a few fundamental principles, and I'm going to cover the last one in this series, in this teaching. You remember that we explained that faith is a substance that grows in our spirit man. God wants our spirit man to be strong. That spirit man needs attention just like the physical body does and the mind, but what matters is what it is fed. And we need to be obviously constantly feeding our spirit man with the truth, God's word. God's word is truth because what he thinks is the truth. But it's not enough, as you said, just to listen to the word. That's the starting place. We need to absorb it, allow it to impact our spirit man. It's only when the word of God, the truths, reach our inner man that they're able to produce the substance of faith. But the procedure does not stop there, as we've been saying over and again. We need to take that faith and put it into practice, put it out there, develop it, use it in whatever way we can, and then come back to get more. Like a muscle, the more we use it, the stronger it becomes, provided that we nourish it in between exercise. Having said that, there's other dimensions which are equally important. We spoke about having a mentality that decides, that purposes to develop our faith, and to that end, aims at certain faith goals, as it were, concrete goals, and achieves those goals one by one as our faith grows. Very much like a weightlifter would set his eyes on lifting a certain kind of weight and then have a target weight that one day he hopes to lift. Well, you see, faith is the same. We need to realize that faith needs to develop in every area of our lives. It's no good having faith just for healing, or faith just for finances, or faith just to live a holy life. Although all those aspects of our Christian walk require faith. But you see, the enemy, being the devious hater of our souls that he is, will always go for the weakest link. And you see, if we've developed our faith as far as finances and holiness is concerned, but we haven't, for some reason or another, developed our faith for healing, well, guess where the enemy is likely to attack. You see, we need to concentrate on all things and become perfect, as the Bible describes. Now, the question does arise, if one is attacked and one isn't ready for that attack because our faith hasn't reached a certain level, and this does happen from time to time. In that event, what is it that we must do? Well, the key lies in the fact that you and I, as children of God, are meant to belong to the body of Christ, and effectively a part of that body, preferably close by to where we live. That was the grand design of God. The point being that when our individual faith doesn't rise to the occasion, we should be able to rely on the faith of others to come around us. And I've had that on many occasions. But the title of this message is The Greatest Is. The Greatest Is. Very closely associated with this need for the body of Christ is what we read in Galatians 5, verse 5 and 6, where Paul is describing that the law is important in a certain respect. It is the guideline, but that doesn't count. At the end, what really counts is love. Faith works by love. You and I can develop our faith technically until we are blue in the face, but that faith will not work if we do not accompany it with the love of God. It's a very deep teaching, and one that has many dimensions, a few of which I'd like to mention right now. The first thing to grasp is this, that, you see, for you and I to develop our faith, our personal faith, we must have a revelation that God loves us. We must realize that God, no matter what, loves us. We need to first and foremost develop our faith in that regard. We read that scripture where it says, perfect love casts out fear. Where there is love, there cannot be fear. Fear and faith do not coexist. There is not enough room in the human spirit to accommodate both fear and faith. Fear is the absolute antithesis of faith. In a sense, it's the devil's counterfeit of faith. Job ran into difficulties. Why? What he feared came upon him. Abraham succeeded. Why? Because what he believed came to pass. And there's always a struggle in your and my heart to overcome fear. Because the devil's trick to undermine our faith is to fill our spirit man with fear. And the two, like water and oil, do not mix. You and I will not have faith for something if our heart of hearts entertains just the slightest bit of fear. The war is actually against fear more than anything else. But you see, what the word says is where there's perfect love, there's no room for fear. Perfect love casts out that fear. And when you and I can rest in the love that God has for us, that is the starting place, the point of departure for you and I to develop our faith. If we do not know that we are loved, we cannot have faith. Added to that is the fact that when you and I do not walk in love, that can destroy our faith. We will be unable to develop our faith life if our hearts are filled with any form of bitterness or resentment. For some reason, the lack of love nullifies our faith. Faith works through love. And you see, the reason why is not that difficult to understand, although I'm sure there are many other supernatural reasons that we may not understand. But you see, love touches at the very heart of the issue, which is your and my motive. It is so easy in this faith walk to start developing our faith, and it all sounds very good and holy and powerful. But our motive subtly has been distracted by the enemy of our souls, and that faith has become for selfish gain. So you see, we need to realize that the motive for you and I to develop our faith is, yes, to be strong and powerful for the Lord our God, to set a good example. But that's not where it ends. The other point to make is this, that your and my faith is to be developed not just for ourselves, but to be able to help others. If you and I are physically weak, it's difficult to pray for the healing of others. In the same way, if we are spiritually weak in any way, we can speak bold words, but they will not help others. Financially as well. You and I will not be able to help anybody if we ourselves are begging for bread, so to speak. You see, God didn't place us on this earth, as I've said so many times, just to live our own little walk selfishly and hopefully make it across the finishing line. That is the very lowest denominator of any successful Christian's life. What God is looking for is people that are not just powerful in themselves, but powerful in themselves for others. You might recall when we were talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of those fruit was the fruit of gentleness. The best way to describe that fruit from the Greek language is gentleness. But you see, that gentleness doesn't operate in a vacuum. And the point we made is that you and I are unable to be gentle if we are not strong. If we are weak in ourselves, any act of gentleness would be translated as weakness. And so you see, we have to develop our faith, yes, so that we are good examples, but it doesn't stop there. Our faith is designed to help others. And you see, that's where the body of Christ comes in. As we mentioned earlier, the time might well come in all of our lives where, faced with a faith challenge, be it a sickness, a disease, a financial challenge, a family challenge, a relationship challenge, or whatever, there might very well come a time when you and I realize that our faith is not enough to confront this challenge. And you see, we might be the person in that position, or we might be those around somebody in that position. And you see, God has designed the church for that very moment. That's the time for everybody to take whatever faith we have, put it all together, and see our brother or our sister through. That's what the Bible means when it describes how, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders. Can you see? Let him call for the elders. The brother or sister has fallen sick. They realize my faith is not going to carry me through on this occasion. Maybe my faith will grow strong enough in the future, but not now. What is the Bible's response? Well, you see, in the book of James, if any of you is sick, call for the elders. Who are the elders? Well, basically, the elders aren't people that are appointed to great positions in the church. They are the people in the body of Christ who have developed their faith a little bit more, perhaps, than others. Call for them. Bring them around. And then the word is very clear. Anoint with oil. You anoint with oil, you're saying, this child of God belongs to God, not you, Satan. This is sacred territory. Be gone, so to speak. And then, what does it say? The prayer of faith, notice, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. No question about it. No question about it. But you see, that prayer of faith presumes something. It presumes that in that community of faith, there is this bond of love. This is this bond of love which says, we will band together to get our brother and sister through whatever it takes. Can you see? And that community of faith is really important. In the other scripture we read in the Epistle of John, he speaks about being like-minded. Being like-minded. You and I will never, ever develop our faith all on our own. The greatest poison to faith is being in the company of what I will call unbelieving believers. People who claim to believe, and yet deep down perhaps have not been taught correctly, but at the heart of everything, they don't really believe. And furthermore, they're not planning to develop their faith, as I've said, possibly because of ignorance. Now, can I just say, it's impossible to avoid this kind of person because the body of Christ, by and large, is composed of them, sad to say. What I am saying is this. We need to have our own community of faith, like-minded people who speak the same language. People who, when you say, I'm challenged by sickness, understand that you don't want to say that you're sick and will not impose those words on you. Can you see? We need to find ourselves regularly in the company of people like that. Because, you see, supernaturally, our faith is developed in the company of like-minded people. Let me just say that again. Supernaturally, your and my belief system is formed by the people with whom we associate. It's so important to understand that. Now, of course, you and I can't cut ourselves off entirely from the world. God never called us to become monks in a monastery, although some might feel that that's their calling in life. But you see, inevitably, if we spend time with unbelievers, or as I call them, unbelieving believers, we need to balance that time with spending time with believing believers. A like-minded community of faith, people who understand that faith has to be developed and are busy developing their faith as best they can. If we do not have that, as it were, home base to work from, you and I will find it very, very daunting trying to develop our faith. Inevitably, who we associate with will determine our belief system. The Bible speaks about avoiding the company of bad people because bad company, it says, corrupts good morals. It's just how it works. You and I are not weak if that happens. We are just normal. We are weak when we permit it to happen on a regular basis. And so, my encouragement to all of us is this. Develop a love walk, as it were. Make sure to keep short accounts with brothers and sisters that might have offended you or I. Forgive quickly. Speak good of others. Do kind deeds wherever possible. Say kind words. You see, walking in love as far as we can. Then also, understanding that God loves us unconditionally. That we have no need to fear the future or whatever comes our way. That is something we need to cultivate in our hearts. But also, apart from all the other development we might be doing with our faith, reading of the word, speaking the word, acting on the word, etc., associate as far as we can with people that are like-minded. Nothing will help you on my faith more than being amongst people who regularly testify to what God has done, what they're expecting God to do, and how their faith is beginning to develop. We need those kind of people, those encouraging people around us. And as I say, that is fertile soil for your and my faith to grow. Being with like-minded people, and as the Bible describes in Ephesians, being conformed into the unity of the faith. Notice the unity of the faith. The unity of faith, thought, action, word, and deed. That's where true unity lies. And you see, in that kind of community, our faith can be harnessed, as it were, very much like oxen being harnessed behind a wagon. We can unite our faith and pull that ox cart through the mud if necessary. All things become possible. All things become possible. You see, that is the objective. That is the purpose of all of this. Your and my faith will move into high gear when it's working through love. And you and I need to work on that with all of our hearts and seek the fellowship that we need. Be the fellowship people that we need to be. Be the brothers and sisters to others that we need to be. And keep our focus on the King of Kings, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Yeshua himself. Be blessed in the wonderful name. Amen.